Welcome back to our Psalms of Histories series. This past Sunday, we were looking at an interesting passage of Scripture. We really dove into 1 Samuel chapter 27, and yet we noted that there's kind of this weird thing that happens between 1 Samuel chapter 26 and chapter 27. Now, 26 is the story where David and his buddy, they go down into the camp of Saul in the middle of the night. Saul's sleeping, Abner's asleep, all of these commandos are protecting the king. The Lord has caused a deep sleep to fall on them. Again, David, they make their way down, and he gets to Saul, the feet of Saul, unscathed, undetected. And while he's encouraged to take Saul's life, David refuses, and instead, you know, takes his jug of water, take the spear, and then they work their way back out of the camp. David gets to a higher perch where, you know, he can't be captured, and he yells out, he taunts Abner, and Saul recognizes David's voice, and then there's this back and forth. Very cool story, and David is really pleading with Saul, again for the second time, to call off the dogs. Like, David is tired, he's worn out, he's been on the run for some time, during which he's no longer now just responsible for his own life. He's got upwards of 600 men that have rallied around him. These men have wives and children. David has to keep them safe, has to provide them lodging, has to provide them food, all the while you're a traitor and a fugitive in the land of Israel. So David is taxed. He's tapped out. And he uses this opportunity to plead with Saul. Leave me alone. Like, let bygones be bygones. Let's bury the hatchet. It's a great exchange. It seems on the surface that Saul repents. You know, he even declares, I've sinned. David, you've done nothing wrong. Even this moment of pure self-reflection, Saul calls himself the fool. The fool, one that knows what to do, but refuses to do it. He's a fool. The chapter closes, chapter 26, on this real, like, hopeful note. Now, it's true that Saul goes back to the capital city. David returns to the strongholds. But you think, okay, at the end of chapter 26, there's some peace here, some stability, no problem. And yet, you just turn the page. And you get to chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, and David is saying within himself that Saul's going to kill him. He's throwing this pity party, and he reaches this conclusion on his own that he needs to flee from the land of Judah and go into the land of the Philistines. And chapter 27 records David going to the land of Gath, to Achish, the king of the Philistines, being given the city of Ziklag, setting up camp there, spending 16 months as kind of this mercenary. It's just a terrible chapter. Within that chapter, there are no psalms. There's no psalms of worship. There's no praises upon the lips of David. And yet there's something that happens, obviously. We don't know how much time transpired between chapter 26, chapter 27. And yet, obviously, there's something going on in the heart of David to cause him to enter such a state of despair and depression that he would himself act so foolishly. We're looking at Psalms that we can possibly attribute to different seasons of David's life to gain some insight to what's going on within his heart, within his spirit. I've picked out two Psalms written by David that I think very possibly, we can't say for sure, but very possibly could have been written by David during this season of disappointment, of uncertainty, where he's hoping that his act of generosity, sparing the life of Saul, that Saul would just give him the throne, hoping that his time of trial and tribulation would come to an end, realizing it isn't, and then making foolish decisions accordingly. Psalms 12 and 13, we're going to look at both of them. They're both short, so it won't take very long. Again, our intention here is not to do a full verse-by-verse analysis, but just to kind of read through, add some commentary, just to get a feel of what's going on in David's soul during this particular season of his life. Psalm 12, the heading, the title of the psalm, is Man's Treachery and God's Constancy, which is a good title. It's subtext to the chief musician on an eight-stringed harp, which is kind of cool. It's a unique instrument. 8 strings. A guitar has 6. A bass guitar has 4. This is an 8-stringed harp. It's a Psalm of David, so it is attributed directly to King David. It begins, and I think that you'll get you'll get the feel of it right from the first word. Help! Help, Lord! For the godly man ceases. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone, with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. He's crying out for the Lord to intervene to help him. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? You know, David here, right from the beginning, is referencing the power of the lips, the tongue, words. Now, keep in mind that what is the source of his great disappointment? Well, it's the empty words, the empty promises of Saul to stop hunting him down, to spare his life. David, during this break between chapters, is realizing that no, Saul is going to turn back on his promise. Thus, David needs to act and get out of the land. He says, verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. No doubt David didn't reach the decision to flee the land of Israel haphazardly or cavalierly. He no doubt, as he leaves Saul, as he's contemplating his scenario, his situation, as he's weighing options, you know, he's going back and forth. There's kind of that proverbial pros and cons list. Should we move or should we not move? Should we stay put? Should we go? What should we do? And you get a little bit of that back and forth within the heart of David. He understands that the words of the Lord are pure words. They're pure. I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. He says the words of the Lord are pure. And then he attributes the purity of God's word like silver tried in a furnace purified 7 times. And no doubt the words of the Lord David is contemplating were the promises that God had given David through the mouth of Samuel, the prophet, that he would be king. That anointing, David battling like, okay, God, I know your words are pure and I know that they're perfect, but I'm struggling here. Help me. Intervene, give me direction. And then you get really the sense of the urgency of the matter. And the psalm ends itself kind of on a cliff note. There's no resolve to it. But he says, the wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. The wicked are prowling. David feels as though that he's being pushed into a box. Backed into a cage, like he's got to do something. The status quo can't remain. David is at his end. His strength has left him. His will has expired, and so he's pleading for the Lord to help him to intervene. Psalm 13. Again, trust in the salvation of the Lord. To the chief musician, a Psalm of David, and again. You'll pick up on just the heart behind it all, right from the beginning. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? you know, you get the sense, again, if there's this battle in the previous psalm, David wrestling with the decision, wrestling with the things he knows of the Lord, but his current situation, he gets to this next psalm, and I mean, he's flat out questioning. I mean, again, how long will you forget me? Like, had God forgotten him? But no, David felt like God had forgotten him. Hey, have you ever found yourself where you felt like the Lord was not answering your prayers, was not hearing your prayers, that he wasn't mindful of you, that he wasn't thinking of you? Sure. I think that's the natural rhythm of a trial, of a tribulation. Trials, storms presented with a measure of disorientation, uncertainty. How long shall I take counsel of my own soul? Don't forget that chapter 27 opens tragically, where David's saying, in his own heart, this is what I'll do. Again, there's not him seeking the Lord. There's not the Lord said that this is what I needed to do, that I was seeking counsel of God, or that he was consulting with the priest like he did in previous chapters. No, it's all within himself, his own self-determination. And he admits, I have sorrow in my heart daily. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He's asking the Lord to consider him, to enlighten his eyes. He says, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And then it just kind of ends. He's asking for divine revelation, for direction. Now, we know within the story, the context, David in this moment, he's got a decision to make. He's appealing to the Lord for help. He's asking, how long, O Lord? He feels disconnected, detached, as if God's not speaking. Now, I think the big lesson we can take away in application is when you find yourself in a situation where you're uncertain, not just of what to do, but of what God wants you to do in a particular scenario or situation, the wisest thing is to do nothing. If you don't have a clear conviction from the Lord or direction or leading from God, if you don't have a peace that would surpass your understanding, if you don't know, then don't do anything. And David would have been in a much better scenario if he had, in this moment of uncertainty, said, you know, I don't know what to do. I feel a little lost. I'm a bit wayward. And that's typically a bad place to be when you're making decisions. And so don't. And then wait on the Lord. Because again, as David is reminded, he's salvation, his words are pure, he will work all things for the good, and he will lead and guide, but it'll be in his time and in his way. If you've enjoyed Psalms 12 and 13, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only can you check out the studies, the full studies there in 1 Samuel, but then all of the Psalms that are connected to that season of his life are clearly listed, so you can listen or watch. God bless.